Amen. Thank you for that special. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17 this afternoon. Acts chapter 17. Just a quick poll, if we could do a raise your hand poll. How many of you on a normal Sunday afternoon would be settling in for a nap about right now? Just see your hands. All right. And the rest of you, you take a nap at other times? Okay. That was at least about half of you. And so I recognize the fact that your internal biological clock is telling you that right now it's time to settle in and take a nap. But I just want to share a few truths with you, a challenge from the Word of God this afternoon. And I pray that you'll fight the flesh this afternoon, that your spirit would win out. And we're going to be challenged by the Word of God to have a ready witness. Acts chapter 17, verse 16, if you can find your place there. And if you find it there, if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read just this verse to get started this afternoon. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity together to assemble and worship you. We pray that you would find our worship acceptable today. We do pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, convict us. Lord, if there's one among us or watching online who's never been born again, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that they would simply turn from their sin and in full faith trust in the finished work of Jesus. And Lord, that they would pray and call on your name and be saved today. Lord, we pray for all those who are unsaved, that they'll hear and believe the gospel. Help us to have a ready witness. All who are saved, Lord, give us a heart and a compassion for the lost. Help us to be spiritually minded day by day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He said one time, "Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join with heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world." William Booth founded the Salvation Army, and in the beginning it was very much focused on the business of the salvation of the souls of men and women and boys and girls. It has lost its purpose, it's lost its focus, and they may do quote-unquote good work today, but they are not doing the greatest work that they were founded on, and that was the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I just want you to hear the plea. So many today would say, I'm not called, I'm not gifted, I'm not really able to talk to other people, and you know, that's good for you, Brother Isaac. You know, you God's gifted you to preach, but he hasn't gifted me. Well, I want you to hear this again. Look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join with heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. You see, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be an evangelist. You just have to be born again. Amen. You have to be a recipient of the mercy and grace of Jesus, and you have to share that mercy and grace with other people. I love what someone said, that evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Jesus is the bread of life. You and I were dead in our trespasses and sin, and if you're born again, you found the bread of life. And what kind of person would find food and leave others to starve? Amen. When there's more than enough to go around? Amen. We want to do well and share the bounty that we have found in Christ with others. Now, Paul was waiting for the other missionaries at Athens, and while he was there, the Word of God says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. This morning, just a couple hours ago, I tried to share with you just some realities of our culture and what's going on in our society today. And I don't know how that affects you, but I'm just telling you, when I see the number of those babies being murdered moment by moment in our country and around the world, it does something inside of me. When I hear about the violence, when I hear about the murder, when I hear about the suicide, something inside of me hurts, something inside of me gets stirred up. And what we want God to do is stir up our spirits to do something about it today. What's the answer to abortion? What's the answer to murder? What's the answer to suicide? What's the answer to broken homes and drug abuse and alcohol abuse and verbal abuse and physical abuse? What's the answer to all of it? I submit to you today, the answer is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the problem with all of the things in our culture today really come from a heart problem. At the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. And the reason that we see the turmoil and the trouble and the darkness and wickedness in our country is because there is sin in the hearts of men, and the only answer to the sin in the hearts of men is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can change our hearts. He can make us new. And if you're saved, then you're a new creature in Christ. I just want to challenge you with a few practical challenges this afternoon. Number one, can I just challenge you to be soul conscious? Be soul conscious. We need to be spiritually and gospel minded every day. As Paul was there waiting, he wasn't necessarily going to Athens to start a church or anything else. He was actually waiting in one place to go to another place. But where he was soul conscious. Where he was spiritually minded. Where he was gospel minded. And what God has called you and I to be is, as we're going through our day-to-day lives, we need to be soul conscious. You may not be at Walmart to start a church. You may not be at Walmart to do evangelism. That may not be your main purpose, the reason you're there, but you ought to be evangelistic while you're there. You may be at the gas station just because you need some fuel in your vehicle and you like to spend money. That may not be the reason for you to be there. It may not be to start a church or to be evangelistic. You're not going door knocking, but you're just there. And you know what? There are other people who will be there too. And so we need to be soul conscious. While he was there, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And too many times, brothers and sisters, when we look at the world out there, our hearts aren't stirred up in us. Our spirit isn't stirred up in us. We get angry, we get prideful, we get pharisaical. But what we need to do is be moved with compassion. Therefore, verse 17, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. And a lot of the good missionary Baptists in the room say he disputed. Amen. I like that. That means he disputed with them. He argued with them, right? Well, the word dispute is, it literally means to say thoroughly. It's a compound word. It means to speak or to say, and it means to do so thoroughly. This word is translated dispute. It's translated discuss, preach, reason, or speak. It doesn't mean that he was arguing with them necessarily the way we think about a dispute today. We hear about people having a dispute. We think of a fight. It just means that he was discussing with them. It means that he was proclaiming the gospel, and he was doing so thoroughly to them. He was explaining to them their need of salvation and how Christ could save. And so when he spoke up. Can I just tell you, we need to be soul conscious. We need to be mindful of the fact that everyone we meet has a soul that's going somewhere. And as we see people, as we become soul conscious, as we're spiritually minded, that we need to speak up. We need to speak up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There in Romans 10:17, that the word, everybody with me? The word is different in a couple of places in your Bible. See right there? Word. I'm really proud of some of you guys from the 90s not going like this. Okay. Sometimes in the Greek, the word is the Greek word logos. It's the written word. this is the Logos, the written word of God. Sometimes in your New Testament, the word word is the Greek word rhema, and it's a spoken word, it's a verbal word. That's what this is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's that mean? I'm not saying that somebody can't get saved by reading the Bible, because people do get saved by reading the Bible. I'm not saying that people don't get saved by reading one of these gospel tracts or the Halloween tracts we're going to hand out here in a few hours, because people do get saved by reading gospel tracts. I am saying that it's God's design that those who have salvation in Christ open their mouths and tell other people how to have salvation through Christ. It's His design that it's a spoken word. It's His design that we open up our mouths and talk to people. And again, it's not that you have to stand up and preach. It's just that you have to talk to people, discuss with someone, to say thoroughly the gospel, to talk to them, to reason with them about the things of God, about eternity. Now, we're going to jump ahead for sake of time and jump down to verse 22. The people heard him and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And so Paul gets invited to Mars Hill. He stands in the midst of Mars Hill and says, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of you. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Amen. The apostle was soul conscious. He was spiritually minded. And when he saw their idolatry, it moved him to speak up and to dispute, to talk to them, to reason with them in the synagogue and in the market daily. So wherever he was, he went to where the Jews were, the religious people. He also went to the market and talked to everybody he could, and he spoke up about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he gets invited to Mars Hill, where they all gather to talk about their philosophies, and he gets to stand up and preach. And I want you to notice a very simple principle that he used that I think he got from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important when you're talking to another person to see what's in front of you. Amen. See what's in front of you, because God will give you tools to use in your conversation. Jesus, when he was resting at the well, do you remember when the woman came to draw water? The disciples had gone into town to buy bread. Jesus is waiting there. She comes to draw water when no one else is around. And Jesus says, "Give me to drink." And he begins a conversation with her about water. Amen. And she's there to get physical water, but he's there to give her spiritual water himself, the living water that'll never run out. Amen. He used what was in front of him. And you see this principle in Scripture multiple times, but you see it again here. When Paul goes to Mars Hill, he could have talked to them about anything, but he used what was in front of him. He saw the opportunity, saw what was in front of him. He's going to Mars Hill, and as he goes, he passes by all their devotions. They've got idols to everything. They got idols to sun gods and moon goddesses. They got idols to the river god and to the god of thunder. And I mean, just anything you could imagine. They've got all these different idols, different gods. And there's one that literally has an inscription, "To the unknown God." And so he sees that and he uses that in order to preach the gospel to them. Amen. I think that this is one of the most important things for us to understand in witnessing to people, is that you have to see them. You have to understand where they're at. You have to find some common ground to have a conversation. And we've got to see the opportunity, see what's in front of you, and then switch to the gospel. See what's in front of you and then switch to the gospel. Jesus, obviously the master, was able to take whatever situation he was in and talk about himself at whatever point he wanted to. But you notice he didn't start with the woman at the well and talk about living water. He didn't start talking to her there. He started talking about regular water. He confronted her with her sin, and he brought her through a process to bring her to a place where she saw her need and desired that living water. We've got to be wise about this. We've got to be wise and see what's in front of us. He understood where they were at. He understood that they had a belief in different gods. He saw that they needed to know the one true God. And so that's where he started. I want to tell you, you guys are too superstitious. You're worried about all these gods. Let me tell you about the one God you don't know. Amen. And notice what he does. He goes all the way back to the beginning. God that made, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. He goes back to the beginning. And I want to tell you that the way he preached here on Mars Hill was very different than the way that Peter preached back at Pentecost. At Pentecost, you had devout Jews who believed in the God of the Old Testament. They believed in Jehovah, and he was able to start at a different place with them. When Paul's at Athens, they don't know God. They don't know the Creator. And so he has to start with creation, and he brings them all the way through. And I just want to challenge you today. We need to be mindful of who we're talking to. You can think about in Luke chapter 2, Anna, who was there at the temple, that faithful woman. And the scripture says, after she saw Jesus, she coming at that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. She was a witness to those who came to the temple where she was. She was a witness to them who were looking for redemption. She met them where they were at. They had a desire to know God, and she helped them to know Jesus. So we need to be soul conscious. We need to speak up, see what's in front of us, and we have to learn to switch to the gospel. I'm going to be honest with you. Not that I've been lying the whole time, but I do. I know some of you are like, I know Brother Isaac, he can talk to anybody, and that's, you know, and you're like, that's not my personality. Our personalities cannot be our excuse. Amen. They can't be. But I wanna just confess to you, I don't have too much trouble talking to anybody about anything. I never have. That's God made me that way, and I'm thankful for it. But I want to tell you that I struggle with switching things. Here's your pastor confessing to you. I have trouble switching things from the here and now, from the material world to the physical world. I have just a regular shooting the breeze. I have a hard time switching from that to the gospel sometimes. I have difficulty making that transition. And I want to tell you, one of the reasons I love gospel tracks so much, because it does it for me. As soon as I hand this to somebody, I've automatically opened a gospel opportunity. I've automatically switched to the things of God. I'm amazed. How many of you guys hand these out? Can we just get a poll, quick poll? All right. Looks like the majority of you do. I always ask people around here when I hand them out if they've gotten one of these yet. And some of them lie, and they're like, no, never seen that before. But most of them are like, oh, yeah, I've got like six of them here. And I'm glad for that. But I'm always amazed, because the first thing, when I was thinking if I got one of these, the first thing I would do is open it up. But almost everybody I hand it to, the first thing they do is turn it over and look at the back. Have you noticed that? Almost the first thing, and I'm thinking we need to put the church information on the inside and put the gospel on the back. Like, one of the first things people do is they turn it over, and immediately they see the word church and they know they're dealing with something about church. I don't have to change the conversation to the gospel now. I don't have to change it to the church. I've automatically done it by giving them a gospel track. Amen. Listen, there's a reason we invest in these so much and try to put this tool in your hand, because I don't know that there's an easier way for us to put the gospel in somebody else's hand than a gospel track. And we've got to be faithful to use these. But we've got to be ready. We've got to have a ready witness, because one of these days, the most amazing thing's going to happen to you, that's happened to me multiple times. You're going to hand one of these to somebody and they're going to go, what is it? Has that happened to anybody yet? Anybody? Has anybody asked you what is it yet? One or two? A few of you? And what do you say? You say, it's manna. No, you don't say that. That's what manna means, by the way. It means what is it? Thank you. Okay. One of these days, somebody's going to take the gospel track. I'm trying. And they're going to say, what is it? And you're going to be able to say, it's a gospel track. And you're going to be able to explain the gospel because they care enough to ask you what it is. They're interested enough to ask you what it is. We need to be ready, have a ready witness. I believe that it's important for us to look for opportunities to share the gospel all the time. And I understand that sometimes people are going to be too busy, people are going to be in a hurry, people are going to be not interested, they're not going to want to talk to you. And listen, we don't have to be overbearing. We can just give them the gospel track and say, hey, I know you're busy, but will you please read that when you have time? But somebody that you meet in your day-to-day, they're going to be looking for redemption. They're going to be searching for answers. Somebody they love is sick and nearing death, and they need the hope of the gospel. They may have gotten a bad diagnosis just this week, and they're looking for answers. They're concerned about eternity. I'm just telling you that we've got to be ready, always looking for those. We don't have to have a special call. We have a command, but we do have to have compassion. We need to see people. We need to see people. I know I've shared this quote with you so many times, but it resonates with my spirit, convicts my heart. So I want to share it with you one more time. Charles Spurgeon said, oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay, and not madly to destroy themselves. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Hell is a real place. And if we're honest this afternoon, we probably know someone who may be there now. But salvation is available to all who believe because Christ paid for all. Salvation is available to you today. He's available to anyone who's willing to turn from their sin to God, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He paid for your sin. You don't have to pay for it yourself. Eternal life and forgiveness is available if you'll just believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could be saved today. You can trust in Christ as your Savior today. Sitting where you are in a pew, sitting at home, wherever you are, you can trust in Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, may God stir up our spirits when we look around us. Not to be judgmental, not to hate those who are without Christ, not to look down at them as though we were better, but to love them and to invest in their lives. I think we ought to give the gospel as soon as we can. We're going to have trunk or treat here in just a few hours. And we're going to be handing out candy. We're going to hand out gospel tracts. And we need to try to create opportunities to have conversations with people. And I believe this. God's going to open up some opportunities right here in this parking lot tonight. There's going to be opportunities. There's going to be somebody that's going to kind of be there and available. And you can talk to them. And you can have a conversation with them. And you can see what's going on. But can I just help you out? They're standing in the church parking lot. Shouldn't be that hard to switch to the things of God. We ought to be able to talk to them. We can ask them about church. It doesn't matter how we start, but we've got to go through the gospel with them. We've got to warn them of the judgment to come. We've got to tell them of the price that Christ paid and how eternal life is available to those who repent and believe the gospel. He reasoned with them. He disputed with them. He warned them of the coming judgment and he told them of the resurrected Savior. It really is that simple. I just want to tell you, we're going to have some opportunities. I do also want to mention this. Something I've heard a lot lately, and I think it's true, because I want to keep this balanced. I do think we ought to give the gospel to people as quick as we can. I think it's vital. You never know when you're going to see somebody again. I've also heard this a lot lately. The gospel flies best on the wings of relationship. What does that mean? It means that we ought to seek to have a relationship with people. Jesus was a friend of sinners. We've heard about that lately. We ought to be friends of sinners. We ought to care about people, love people. This isn't just a project. It's not just a thing so we can check it off our list. I handed out this many gospel tracts. No, these are people. These are people. And we want to love them. We want to give them the gospel as soon as we can. But we also want to care about them. We want to love them. We want to get to know them. And we want them to get to know our Savior. This afternoon, if you're able, let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Are you ready to be a witness for Jesus? Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared. I think the way we do that is to open our eyes and look around on the fields that are white to harvest. We ask God, we pray for opportunities, and we pray for those that are lost. And we're always ready. We're always carrying our gospel tracts. We're always looking for opportunities. I just ask you this afternoon, if God's convicting your heart, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can pray and ask him to save you now, trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus as the only means of salvation. If you are saved, maybe God's put somebody on your heart this afternoon that you need to pray for. Maybe you don't have a burden for the lost and you need to ask for one. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.